Judges chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 33. We'll read through to the end of chapter 9. We have the great privilege of reading a greater portion of the Lord's Word this evening. Chapter 8, verse 33, through chapter 9, verse 57. This is God's Word. Then it came about as soon as Gideon was dead that the sons of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal Berith their god. Thus the sons of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, nor who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. Nor did they show kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, in accord with all the good that he had done to Israel. And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem, to his mother's relatives, and spoke to them and to the whole clan of the household of his mother's father, saying, "Speak now in the hearing of all the leaders of Shechem, which is better for you, that 70 men, all the sons of Jerubbaal, rule over you, or that one man rule over you? Also remember that I am your bone and your flesh." And his mother's relatives spoke all these words on his behalf in the hearing of all the leaders of Shechem, and they were inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, "He is our relative." And they gave him 70 pieces of silver from the house of Baal Berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless fellows, and they followed him. Many went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal, 70 men on one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. All the men of Shechem and all Beth Millo assembled together, and they went and made Abimelech king by the oak of the pillar which was in Shechem. Now when they told Jotham, he went and stood on the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted his voice and called out. Thus he said to them, "Listen to me, O men of Shechem, that God may listen to you. Once the trees went forth to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, 'Reign over us.' But the olive tree said to them, 'Shall I leave my fatness with which God and men are honored and go to wave over the trees?' And the tree said to the fig tree, 'You come reign over us.' But the fig tree said to them, 'Shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go to wave over the trees?' And the tree said to the vine, 'You come reign over us.' But the vine said to them, 'Shall I leave my new wine which cheers God and men and go to wave over the trees?' Finally, all the trees said to the bramble, 'You come, reign over us.' The bramble said to the trees, 'If in truth you are anointing me as king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, may fire come out from the bramble and consume the cedars of Lebanon.' Now therefore, if you have dealt in truth and integrity in making Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have dealt with him as he deserved, for my father fought for you and risked his life and delivered you from the hand of Midian. But you have risen against my father's house today and have killed his son, 70 men on one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem because he is your relative. If then you have dealt in truth and integrity with Jerubbaal and his house this day, rejoice in Abimelech and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and consume the men of Shechem and Beth Millo. And let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from Beth Millo and consume Abimelech.' And Jotham escaped and fled and went to Be'er and remained there because of Abimelech, his brother. Now Abimelech ruled over Israel 3 years. Then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, so that the violence done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood might be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them, and on the men of Shechem, who strengthened his hands to kill his brothers. The men of Shechem set men to an ambush against him on the tops of the mountains, and they robbed all who might pass by them along the road, and it was told to Abimelech. Now Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his relatives and crossed over into Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their trust in him. They went out into the field and gathered the grapes of their vineyards and trod them, and he held a festival. And they went into the house of their God and ate and drank and cursed Abimelech. Then Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Jerubbaal, and is Zebul not his lieutenant? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, but why should we serve him? Would therefore that his people were under my authority, that I would remove Abimelech." And he said to Abimelech, "Increase your army and come out." When Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger burned. He sent messengers to Abimelech deceitfully, saying, "Behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his relatives have come to Shechem, and behold, they are stirring up the city against you. Now therefore arise by night, you and the people who are with you, and lie in wait in the field. In the morning, as soon as the sun is up, you shall rise early and rush upon the city. And behold, when he and the people who are with him come out against you, you shall do to them whatever you can." So Abimelech and all the people who were with him arose by night and lay in wait against Shechem in four companies. Now Gaal the son of Ebed went out and stood in the entrance of the city gate, and Abimelech and the people who were with him arose from the ambush. When Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, "Look, people are coming down from the tops of the mountains." But Zebul said to him, "You are seeing the shadow of the mountains as if they were men." Gaal spoke again and said, "Behold, people are coming down from the highest part of the land, and one company comes by the way of the diviner's oak." Then Zebul said to him, "Where is your boasting now with which you said, 'Who is Abimelech that we should serve him?' Is this not the people whom you despise? Go out now and fight with them." So Gaal went out before the leaders of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him, and many fell wounded up to the entrance of the gate. And Abimelech remained in Arumah, but Zebul drove out Gaal and his relatives so that they could not remain in Shechem. Now it came about the next day that the people went out to the field, and it was told to Abimelech. So he took his people and divided them into three companies and lay in wait in the field. When he looked and saw the people coming out from the city, he rose against them and slew them. Then Abimelech and the company who was with him dashed forward and stood in the entrance of the city gate. The other two companies then dashed against all who were in the field and slew them. Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he captured the city, killed the people who were in it. And then he razed the city and sowed it with salt. When all the leaders of the tower of Shechem heard of it, they entered the inner chamber of the temple of El Berith. It was told Abimelech that all the leaders of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. So Abimelech went up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people who were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a branch from the trees and lifted it and laid it on his shoulder. Then he said to the people who were with him, "What you have seen me do, hurry and do likewise." All the people also cut down each one his branch and followed Abimelech and put them on the inner chamber and set the inner chamber on fire over those inside, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem also died, about 1,000 men and women. Then Abimelech went to Thebez, and he camped against Thebez and captured it. But there was a strong tower in the center of the city, and all the men and women with all the leaders of the city fled there and shut themselves in. And they went up on the roof of the tower. So Abimelech came to the tower and fought against it and approached the entrance of the tower to burn it with fire. But a certain woman threw an upper millstone on Abimelech's head, crushing his skull. Then he called quickly to a young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, "Draw your sword and kill me, so that it will not be said of me, 'A woman slew me.'" So the young man pierced him through, and he died. When the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, each departed to his home. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father in killing his 70 brothers. Also God returned all the wickedness of the men of Shechem on their heads, and the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal, came upon them. Well, that is the word of our God. May he add his blessing to the reading and now the expounding of it. Following the death of the judge of Gideon, Israel, as we've seen before, Israel again does evil in the sight of the Lord and worshipped other gods. They worshipped Baal and the Baal of Berith. Why? Well, because they did not remember the Lord, it says, and that he delivered them from their enemies in the past. They did not remember the Lord's instrument either, verse 35 of chapter 8. When we don't remember the Lord's instrument, when we don't remember the Lord, applicable to all of us here because God uses all of us as His instruments. When we ignore the instruments of God's grace, we demean the giver of that grace. Here, apostasy from the Lord and ingratitude toward Gideon occurred together. Oftentimes that can be the case even in the church. Secondly, we see here that there's a problem in the leadership. Abimelech conspires with the men of Shechem to have his brothers killed so that he could be king and that he could rule over Israel. As they were crowning Abimelech king, chapter 9, verse 6, Jotham hears of it, the only survivor of his brothers, because he hid. He had escaped. He heard the news of what was happening, so he went to Mount Gerizim, which is the Mount of Blessing, and he spoke to the men of Shechem and told them a story. And the point of that story, if you remember the story already, since this was a long reading, the point of it is in verses 14 and 15. All the trees are filled with stupidity, seeking after people to rule over them. And they even come to the bramble. The bramble. And the bramble here we learn is useless, except in bringing disaster. We don't learn here about the worthlessness of kingship or kings, but the worthlessness of Abimelech. And we learn about the stupidity of the men of Shechem who put him as king over them. The problem is not in the kingship, but it's in the character of the king and the men who put him there, as it's expounded upon in verses 16 through 20. The theme or the point is the foolishness or peril of accepting clearly unqualified leadership. This applies in the church. It applies, you know, with the raising up of elders, deacons, pastors, all these types of offices in the church, or leadership in the church. It also applies to our government, right? And it also applies to choosing a spouse for them to be, they're going to be spouses together, leaders of their home, parents of their children, husbands of their family. And so here we see that we have, when we have the opportunity, we need to be careful about selecting men of qualified leadership, or women if we're choosing our spouse, men of qualified leadership, ones who have godly character or good character to lead people. Finally, we see the process of God's judgment here. There are a lot of details here, but we have two sets of verses that really help us narrow down what this, all the details of basically verses 22 through 57 are about. And we see that, so we don't get lost, we look at verses 23 through 24. It says that God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, so that the violence done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood might be laid on Abimelech, their brother who killed them, and on the men of Shechem, who strengthened his hands to kill his brothers. And then also verses 56 and 57. Similar things. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father in killing his 70 brothers. Also God returned all the wickedness of the men of Shechem on their heads, and the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal, came upon them. And so here the Lord brings judgment upon those evil men. He works this way sometimes when He brings His judgments. Not always a big act of judgment. Here it's not a huge act of judgment, is it? It's not like the flood, right? It's not anything like that. It's more of, it's not even a military battle in some sense. It's God using evil against evil. He uses evil men, Abimelech, to bring down Shechem, and the men of Shechem and those people of the cities there to bring down Abimelech. It's almost like a slow process here. It's almost like the rotting of wood. It's a slow process, and eventually the wood breaks. That's kind of what's going on here. Evil destroys evil. God often uses evil men to destroy others who are evil as well. There is no fellowship with evil, and so evil men can oftentimes come against other evil men and fight against each other. And we should not be confused when that happens. In Judges, we have learned that evil and destruction come from the outside, influencing Israel, right? They come from other, not only having and marrying, the intermarrying with those other gods, the Canaanites, and following after their gods, Baal, and all these other things, but also the Midianites coming in and the evil that they brought, as we just learned. But also, not only does it come from the outside, but it comes from inside as well. Judgment and evil can come from the inside and the outside. Here, we have hope. Because we think about the church, we think about even what we look at, what we're going to look at in Ephesians, that evil can come from within. The same thing we've learned in Timothy, Titus, Thessalonians, that false teachers and all these false prophets who can come in and change the whole dynamic of a church because of false teaching. And yet we have hope here. God does not abandon His people here to those who are wicked and they're midst to people. He doesn't abandon His people to people like Abimelech or the men of Shechem, but He actually brings them to destruction. And here He keeps His people from utter destruction. And so as we think about the church, the Lord does the same thing with us. He even though we might experience struggles in the church or even outside of the church, the Lord will not abandon His people. He will always be with them, right? And even though you might die, right? Persecution might come. Sufferings might come where you will die, right? We've seen that in Scripture. We see it throughout the world now, China and other places. Egypt, if you've been following the news, Christians dying there. The Lord will not abandon His people. Even if they die physically, He will keep their souls. And He will deliver them into that heavenly country, heaven, and into glory which awaits them. So He does not abandon His people. Those are some of the lessons we learn from this passage. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for Your word here in Judges 8 and 9. We thank You for showing us how You love godly leadership. You love men of character. You also here are showing us that there is one King, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is King of Kings, Father. And here a man tries to take Your place, and You bring him to destruction. You bring judgment upon him. And even those who enabled him to do so, who worked with him that he would be king, to try to be the King of Kings, You bring them down as well. But Father, we pray that as we continue as a church, that as times of election, nominations of elders, deacons, pastors, etc. come up in this church, that we would choose men of godly character, men who are qualified for the office for which they are being nominated or seeking to take. And Father, we pray that it's interesting as we look at Timothy and Titus and their qualifications of elders and deacons, that most of the qualifications are character qualifications, not teaching or anything like that, but spiritual qualifications and character qualifications. Father, we pray that You would raise up godly men from within our midst, even from our children, to be the future pastors and elders and deacons of Your church. And Father, we pray that even those older men You might use and raise up to lead our congregation as under-shepherds in the future. Now, Father, we also pray for this fact that You would not abandon Your people. You've kept Your promise thus far. You've been faithful. You've never abandoned us thus far. You've never abandoned Israel nor the church. And so we pray now that You would continue not abandoning us, Father. We pray that You would continually keep us and guard us and protect us. We know that might not be to keep our bodies physically. We might die. And all of us will die, Lord. And so we do pray, though, that You would keep our souls, keep our hearts, that You would keep us and give us new glorified bodies at the right time. Oh, Lord, what a great day that will be when we will be given those new glorified bodies. and all these things, thinking back perhaps if we're able to do that upon this earth, to see how much we cherished and idolized our own bodies, and yet you will give us something so much greater. Father, we also pray that you would, that we would not be people who demean your grace, that we would remember your works that we've seen. We've seen it often in the times of people and things that we pray about at prayer meeting, even here, and you answer those prayers. And you even use instruments in the bringing about of answering prayers. And we pray that you would be glorified in all things, and that your grace would be shed forth, and you use us as instruments to be instruments of your grace, and that we would remember you using people for such things and give glory not to man or boast in man, but to give glory to you and remember your work. Father, let us not be like these men of Shechem or Abimelech or the men of Israel at this time. Be like your church, which you call us to. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.